Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Welcome to Exploring Missions today, and we're excited about an interview that we have for you that took place in Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Meeting. It is there where we get to meet a lot of people. And some of the people that we meet, we've heard of, we know of their work, and then we get to meet them and interview them, Nathan. That's always exciting.
It is. It's good to put, a voice with a face or a name. And so today our special guest on Exploring Missions is Fuad Masri. And Fuad, welcome to the program today, brother.
Great to be with you guys.
So I've known about Fuad and known him to a degree from a distance through other friends and the work that I've been privileged to be a part of. And Fuad is in Tennessee, headquarters of Crescent Project, and he's going to tell us about that. Previously, you guys were in Colorado, and way before that, you were... Where did you start your life, Fuad?
Yes, I was in Beirut, Lebanon, and I grew up during the Civil War. Some people heard of the Civil War, where we had Palestinians kill Lebanese, and Lebanese kill Palestinians, and then Syrians came in, and the Iranians. So during the war in Lebanon, I had a lot of hate, you know, hated Jewish people, hated Palestinians. They killed my best friend, Walid, at age 18. But I started studying different religions because I did not want to believe in God because of the war. And it hit me that Jesus is different than anyone else. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. And then Jesus says a beautiful verse, John 15:15-16. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends. In the Greek, it says best friends. Because I've told you everything from my Father. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you to go and bear fruit, and that fruit will last. So it shook me to the core. And I, for the sake of time, there were other events happening. We lost family, friends, and the war was very vicious because it was a surprising war. You could be having dinner, and suddenly the tanks are parked right behind your building, and they're shooting. I mean, between civilians. But I remember, like it was yesterday, walked in my room, closed the door, knelt by my bed, and I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, when you came to earth, you healed the sick and raised the dead. Forgive me that I hate Jewish people. Forgive me that I hate Palestinians. Forgive me that my heart is so filled with hate and murder. You changed my mind. You changed my sin. Forgive me for that and make me a new person. And I want to follow you to the day I die. God changed my heart. I woke up, started praying for the Israelis. I started praying for the Palestinians. I started praying for the Iranians. And the reason I share the gospel, because it changed me. I mean... Nothing in my background should tell me to love anyone except the Lebanese, because we're proud people. You know, we say we invented the alphabet 3,000 years before Christ.
And pretty good at food, I will
add. Oh, yes, sir. Our hummus, you know. But it's we're very proud people, but at the same time, we kill each other all the time. And it just hit me that the issue today on our planet, the issue is the heart. Yes, politics are nice, but politics change. Education, it's nice, but people who are more educated do more damage than the ones who are illiterate, you know. And then the education is nice, but it doesn't change the value system. And the God who changed me because of the work of Jesus Christ, because the work of His Holy Spirit, can change all people. So I started sharing the gospel. And when I moved to America to do my master's in Islamic studies, I was shocked of the number of Muslims moving to this country as students, as immigrants, but nobody's reaching them.
Yeah.
80% of international students never visit a Christian home. So their window on the gospel, because they all tell us America is a Christian nation, but we come, we don't see Christians. Well, we think everybody's Christian, but you and I know that the people we see on television sometimes, or movies, or even the name of our Savior is used as a curse word in America. I mean, 150 million born-again Christian, 100 million Roman Catholics in this nation, and we use the name Jesus as a curse word in movies. Like, who are you people? Don't you respect us? But still, so as a Muslim, you come here and it's like, where am I? Who are these people? I remember landing in JFK. I was a college student, young believer, not even 2 years in Christ. And I was shocked. Like, how can you tell who's who? Because in the Middle East, we can tell by the dress, by the accent, you know. But America is a melting pot, and you respect everybody. So I started a ministry called Crescent Project to help Christians cross the street, welcome Muslims, talk to them, love Muslims. Somebody says, I disagree with Muslims. You can't disagree. You can love someone and still disagree with them. I mean, if you're a parent listening to this, I'm sure you understand. you can love your children and not agree with them. So people think when I say love Muslims, meaning like we have to agree. We don't agree with them. But Muslim people are very pious. As I studied Islam, I have a degree, Islamic degree, master's degree. I read the Quran in Arabic 40 times. Islam is a problem, yes. Islam in the Quran, chapter 9, talks about killing Christians, Jews, non-Muslims. Chapter 47, chapter 25, verse 52. Jihad is in the Quran, but most Muslims today are not jihadis. Most Muslims are nominal, and most Muslims are not
that
Arab.
That sounds like Baptist.
Yeah, we can go there if you like. Everybody in Texas is Baptist at some point. You know, but the idea is, you know, there's nominal, the nominal nature of Islam is many times an open door for us to talk about the Lord. So we praise God, and Nathan, and thanks, brother, for inviting me here, because the church needs to know that in the last 20 years, more Muslims have become followers of Christ than the previous 1,400 years. Mm. God is moving,
yes,
and we can talk a little bit about why it's happening, but it's important the church to know this is our time.
Amen.
This is not the time to sit at church, close the door, and sing some songs.
You know, brother, you said something earlier about maybe some of your own experience in coming to the United States and noticing many international students or just immigrants coming as Muslims, but even from other backgrounds, we could say, you know, they come to the United States, and the United States is, to a large degree, a very individualistic, isolated, lonely place. I mean, Americans born here grow up and they feel lonely. We're not very connected and community-oriented. A Muslim person, especially, is very community-oriented, and they come to the United States maybe as a guest, maybe to stay, and they feel very acutely that isolation and that loneliness. Would you say that's an opportunity for the church to really invest and get to know people and share the gospel that way?
Yes. See, Americans are very hospitable people, but Americans also come from the idea that you want to give people space. So I learned, it took me a while to understand that when Americans give you space, it's not because they're aloof or not interested. It's just the way we respect each other. And I grew up in the Middle East. Sometimes we're too much in everybody's business. I mean, the moment the baby is born, we already set up his wife and what, you know. So there is this balance between being too individualistic, where it comes across aloof and racist, or too much community where everybody, you know, gossiping and you can't. And this is the struggle many times for Muslims. We were sharing the gospel with a Muslim lady. Her problem, she had a marriage devastated, broken marriage, had a lot of problems. She didn't want to go to the mosque because they talk bad about her. But where would she go? So the only way you can reach something like that is building friendships and love on them. I was in Ohio. There is a Somali lady who saw her own father tied to the bumper of a car, dragged down the street till he died. And she became a refugee here in America. So I was talking to the family hosting her. I said, you know, this person needs you to listen, read Psalms for her. Maybe she gets saved the first day you meet her. Maybe she gets saved 17 years later. It's okay. You know, love on them. An Afghan family, when the Afghan wave came about 18 months ago, we helped 240 churches reach out to Afghan refugees, hundreds. Thousands of refugees came, and we helped 240 churches. One of them helped 100 families, one church. 100 families. But one of the team members who were helping called me. He said, I entered this Afghan home. The father brought his three sons, made chai, made tea. He said, we are here to ask you, why are you helping us?
Don't you love that question?
Yeah, you know, why are you helping us? We don't get any help from the mosque. And this gentleman said, because Jesus told us to love our neighbor ourselves. And the guy says, I never heard that. He goes, would you like to read the Bible? He goes, yeah. See, many times they don't know what we believe. And what you're saying, Nathan, is true. We want to be community, absolutely. And I think you're right. The church needs to revamp what does it mean community for Americans. But when you go to countries like India, Africa, many countries like the Middle East, Morocco, Egypt, they know how to build community and the church is growing. We don't hear the reports because the news want to tell us what the devil is doing. So I hope with this program we'll tell you what God is doing.
Amen.
That the house church movement is growing faster than ever before, and it will continue because, see, Jesus says, I am building my church. See, I forget always that, oh, maybe some kind of evangelist is building the church. No, he's not. Jesus building it. So yes. It doesn't matter what Ayatollah Khamenei says.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what the Saudis say. It doesn't matter who any leader, whether Mr. the President of United States or President of Russia, they do not have the final say. Jesus yes. has the final say because he has been raised from the dead, seated on the right hand of the Father. And Jesus says, all authority has been given, not to the evangelicals, not to some group. It's been given to him. He yes. is on the throne. And that's what frees us up. The reason I love Muslims is because Jesus is with me. And he wants me to love Muslims. If they become believers, hallelujah. If they don't become believers, hallelujah. My heart breaks. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to heaven because of Christ. One of the beautiful testimonies in the Bible is when the disciples came back when the 70 was sent. And they said, Lord, people are getting healed and the sick are being yes. healed and the demons scared. And he said, rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
So my brother, my sister, if you're listening, rejoice. We have joy in this journey with Jesus. And may God use you to tell a Muslim that God loves them and send Jesus to save them.
You know, I can't help but say this. You was talking about India and different places. The other day we had Todd Nettleton on with us and our regular program of Exploring the Word. And the fastest growing community that's coming to Christ is in Iran.
Yes.
That is amazing. And he said, really, Khomeini did more for Christians than you could ever believe because he took over and they demonstrated what Islam could never do. And they turning okay. away and turning to Christ. Okay. Nathan, that's yep. awesome to hear.
Yeah, it is. We definitely want to rejoice and celebrate what God is doing. And even as you're listening, you can be a part of what God is doing simply by taking some small, simple steps. But I believe it starts with looking into God's word and seeing what he says about the nations and what God says about his heart for all peoples. Today, we're talking with Fuad Masri with Crescent Project, and we want to give you that website, an easy step for you to connect with them. It is cphope.org, and that's Crescent Project, cphope.org. Fuad, what other resources? I know there's a lot that you guys produce and have avenues for folks to learn and to grow and to be trained in sharing Jesus with Muslims. In fact, that's the name of your book, right? Sharing Jesus with Muslims?
Yes, that's the latest book, Sharing Jesus with Muslims. It's designed to help Christians have baby steps. Many times people say to me, well, how can I start a conversation? Well, we'll give you ways to start a conversation. It could be questions, could be testimonies, could be ways that help them. So right now, as a ministry, we have materials to equip people. So you can go to cphope.org or withmuslims.com. But cphope.org, you can find a lot of ways to connect. English, a second language, women outreach, student outreach, short-term trips. You can be part of our digital outreach. Our digital ministry has grown. We have more than 400 volunteers. You can be talking to somebody in Indonesia and in Brazil, right from your home.
I don't want to interrupt. I want to go back to you. But I had the privilege of doing just that. And during the COVID kind of shutdown, many of us found ourselves with lots of time on our hands stuck at home. And I was able to connect with Crescent Project. And they connected me with some young men living in the Middle East who wanted to brush up on their English and practice English conversation skills just over the phone. And so we were able to do that for several months with these guys. And so there's plenty of avenue. Even someone like me with a Southern accent, and Dad, I would say, even someone like you with a thick,
more, yeah, southern,
more
accent.
Southern accent, still And in fact, Southerners make good English teachers because we speak slowly. And and lots of people appreciate that. But Fouad, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and tell us.
No, the reason I want to make sure our listeners know that there are so many opportunities to share the gospel. One of the biggest lies of the devil is that you do not matter to the kingdom of God. Many of us, we sell ourselves short. But when you look at the disciples of Jesus, they were not the sharpest tool in the shed. Christ did not choose them because they were good. He changed them. I mean, like, do you really want to spend time with Thomas or Philip or Peter? Well, after the resurrection, they were changed. So God is looking for people who want to give him time. People say, how much time? It does not matter. You can give 10%. God will use that 10%. It could be somebody at work that you just want to have coffee with. Or it could be somebody who's lost somebody in Gaza right now. I asked my team, do you have a Jewish friend? And like some of them are like, I don't. I said, find a Jewish person and just be a friend. Listen to what they're feeling. Do you have a Palestinian friend? Then like people are like, maybe, I don't know. Well, find one. Just listen. What would Jesus say today to the president of the United States? What would Jesus say to war? We think that our Lord Jesus was just a carpenter 2,000 years ago. His words are alive. The heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The words of Jesus changed me. The words of Jesus probably changed you. And guess what? The number one reason Muslims come to faith in Christ is they meet a practicing believer. They see the fruit.
Now, let's restate that. Practicing?
Yes, somebody who knows the Lord.
Amen.
And the fruit is shining. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Not somebody says, oh, yeah, I went to church at Christmas. Well, great. Thank you, brother. But, you know, it's we want to live the Christian walk. That's what attracts them. The second one that's really empowering is that they read the Bible in their language. So you come to our website, we have a ton of Bibles in the language of the people. So they maybe speak Dari or Pashtun or Arabic. Great, give them the Bible and let's read it. My friend Hisham, a devout Sunni Muslim, he reads the Bible and the Bible says, love your enemies. He doesn't sleep for 3 nights. Because it says like, it doesn't make sense to love my enemies, but it's the only solution, because eye and eye for tooth, everybody's blind, nothing happens. You know, it's a beautiful way. Another lady, she read what Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. She was shocked that God makes a promise that he's with us. And it's powerful. One Muslim man, he was busy trying to do everything, grow his beard, don't trim it, shave his mustache, do everything like Muhammad lived, you know, put the henna, you know, the red color. And when he read that we are saved not by works, because our works are not good enough, we're saved as a gift by grace. And like, why am I doing all this? I mean, God can save me because of his power. And so this is the power of the gospel. In the Bible in Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why I'm not ashamed? Because it is the power. The Greek word is dunamim, because it's the power of God to save everybody, the Jews and the Gentiles. I mean, covers everybody. And we praise God. The opportunity is there. cphope.org, withmuslims.com. Go in, equip yourself, prepare yourself, sign up to our activities to share. And my brother, my sister, if you are already sharing the gospel with somebody, please tell us, because we want to pray for you and support you with whatever you're doing. Because the time is now for every Muslim to hear the gospel and respond to the gospel, either yes or no.
Amen. You know, when someone does go to the website, cphope.org, one of the first things they may see, depending on the time that they visit, but right now you have something going on called the Sahara Challenge.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what is the Sahara Challenge?
Yes, thank you. It's a 3-day training conference that covers Islam as a religion, Islam as a culture, and then we give the attendees 12 keys to understand a culture. Many times when I even travel, like if I'm in India or Nigeria or Morocco, you know, I'm an Arab, but they're different cultures. So I have these 12 keys to understand the culture, to connect. And then we talk about magic in Islam. Islam is mostly folk religion, more tribal religion. So there's a lot of magic stuff. And 70% of Muslims you meet are involved in that. They probably never read the Quran. It's more about controlling the spirits, protecting yourself. And then we have ministry skills. And so every year we do this live, but during the pandemic, we went online, which we found out is a great way. So this year is going to be online. Last year we had 107 countries
Oh, wow.
represented. So please sign up quickly. It will be online, and there will be also what we call breakout sessions, where there's an interaction through Zoom, through the media, on specific topics, like something on women in Islam, or something very specific on discipling Muslim converts, or maybe something dealing with spiritual warfare. We have a great faculty that teaches, and this year, one of our faculty is Dr. David Garrison, who wrote a book called Wind in the House of Islam. Yes. He's a wonderful brother, and so he's also giving us about four key sessions on how to not only minister to Muslims, but how to have stamina in ministry. So that's the Sahara Challenge. Please sign up. You can go on cphope.org, and you can find that. Thanks for highlighting that, Nathan. The other thing we discovered, when you join, you meet other people. There's a lot of people sometimes in the chat rooms. You can see people from other countries. You can, we have a section time where you can go pray in the prayer rooms. So technology is very good, yes, especially when it works.
Now, what's the dates?
The dates are in April 26.
And as Fuad's giving us those dates, let me encourage you to also pick up his book, Sharing Jesus with Muslims. It's a step-by-step guide to doing just that. And it's easier, I'll just say from experience, sharing Jesus with a Muslim person is easier than you think. We have a lot of, as Christians, especially American Christians, some of us grew up in a bubble where we're not around lots of different types of people.
That's changing.
It is changing. It's a good thing for our younger generations to have different friends from different places and cultures represented. But I tell you, there's more barriers that we put up as a Christian in front of a Muslim than they would put up in front of us. That's my experience. And so when you're equipped, when you're trained, when you're ready, sharing Jesus with Muslims is a simpler idea than what we automatically think.
Yes, especially the book has sections. For example, we back the train to talk about what is evangelism. Because people are like, evangelism, that's a bad word. No, it comes from the word of good news. And then what is the Great Commission? Then on how to begin a conversation, then how to focus the conversation, and then how to disciple. The dates, to be exact, on Sahara Challenge are April 16 to 18.
Okay. And
we start 9 o'clock Central Time on purpose because it's good for the North America time, but it's also good for Europe and the Middle East because it's later there.
Yes.
So we start 9 o'clock. And it's, let's see, April 16 to the 18th, and they can sign up on cphope.org.
All right. So, Fuad, in your book, going back to that, there's a chapter I notice that is at the end, close to the end. It's called Leaving Islam. When, and I'm going to say when, not if, because as you've mentioned, God is doing a great work among Muslim people all over the world, bringing them to himself. And when a new brother, a new sister in Christ from Islam turns to Jesus, they are redeemed and saved. There are some special challenges for many of them that they face when they say yes to Jesus. There's other things that go along with that. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes, thank you. But we discovered that many times Christians in countries where there's very little persecution, we forget that other countries get huge persecution. So you might get saved, and 6 months into it, maybe somebody asks you to do something. It's like, hey, I'm a believer now. I don't do this anymore. But in the Middle East, once they find out you're reading the Bible, even before you got saved, they might come in, they might hit you, you might lose your life, you might lose your job, you might have the Bible torn, or maybe your account's closed. So the struggle we face sometimes when a Muslim becomes a believer is that the Christian community forgets that there's huge hurdles. So that's one thing. The other thing is, many times when they become believers, we expect them to take our own culture. Now, I love American culture, don't get me wrong, but culture is God's created. So there are good things in America, but there are also some strange things in America.
Yes, absolutely.
Same when you come to my country, Lebanon, you know, you'll know that we have problems because we drive very strange, you know.
I've heard that.
But there are also great things in our culture. So many times we need to understand when they leave Islam, you want to help them have a biblical culture. So, you know, maybe there's a certain diet they want to keep. Okay, that's fine. Or they might want to stay quiet for a little bit. One lady who just prayed and received Christ about 2 years ago, she was afraid that her family would find out. And we said to her, well, just keep things quiet, make the decision, read your word, grow spiritually, have a community, doesn't have to be, you know. And then she got baptized when she was ready. Another friend of mine who's Iranian, he said to me, no, I want everybody to know I'm a believer now. And he got baptized in the pool, you know, where everybody's so, you know. So each person is different, and you want to move on their pace. So in the chapter, Leaving Islam, we talk about a couple of things. One, understanding where they're coming from. Two, to move on their pace. And then lastly, to focus on them growing spiritually. So I wrote a series, a Bible study series called Growing Grace. It is available on Kindle. So if people want to go through that study with a believer, it's good. It's 6 studies on how to grow spiritually. But Sharing Jesus with Muslims is written to help Christ followers reach out to Muslims.
You know, when I hear this, and again, we're in Nashville, Tennessee at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, and we have an exhibition hall, and you have all these ministries, and how many of them are reaching Muslims, reaching into certain countries in the Middle East, in the Far East, and then you have a lot of Jewish people there, chosen people there. Isn't God's community awesome?
Hallelujah.
That's the great part of it. And if people could only understand that and see that again, many nations, but one race, the human race, needing to come to Christ.
Yeah.
So Nathan, to see that and be a part of that, it really energizes us on this program of Exploring Missions to know that people all over the world need to know Jesus.
Absolutely. And we want you as a listener to be energized in sharing your faith and pay special attention to those that the Bible might refer to them as a stranger, but what it means is someone not from your community, and it could be a Muslim person. Many Muslim people are living nearby and around us, and it is our desire for you to be intentional about sharing your faith in Jesus with Muslim people. Fouad, we've got just about a minute or so left, and can you just give us a synopsis of what it is that you are seeing all around the world that God is doing through Crescent Project as you train Christ followers to share their faith in Jesus? As they do that, what are you seeing as far as fruitfulness, as far as the work that's being done?
Thank you. We have 63 staff, and we have volunteers and interns in 107 countries. And I love how we want to end this. Jesus promised that they will come from the east and the west and sit on the table with Abraham. And this word is the human race. The human race needs to be redeemed and is being redeemed since the resurrection. I love the lot of movement now happening on missions where they're saying, let's finish the task.
Yes.
I was in Amsterdam 2023 last year, and that was the slogan, finishing the task. We can see the end of the tunnel. The number of unreached people groups is dwindling, more and more getting saved. So let's trust God that God will use you to make a difference.
Amen.
And share the good news with someone.
Thank you for listening today, Exploring Missions, and may you do just that.
Let's finish the task.